I now give the floor to His Excellency Rembenk Pato, Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Immigration of Papua New Guinea.
Mr. President, His Excellency Mr. Sam Kutesa, President of the General Assembly, His Excellency Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, Your Excellencies, distinguished delegates, allow me, Mr. President, to congratulate you on behalf of the Government of Papua New Guinea on your election to preside over the 69th session of the UN General Assembly. Papua New Guinea supports your leadership as we work with you on your ambitious theme of delivering on and implementing a transformative post-2015 development agenda. I take this opportunity also to pay tribute to Ambassador John Nash for his strong leadership in setting the stage for announcing sustainable development agenda of member states, especially of the small island developing states. We also commend the UN Secretary General for his leadership and untiring commitment to advancing the course of global peace and security, to announce the multidimensional global development agendas. Mr. President, it has been a long and sometimes hard road for the people of Fiji over the last 8 years. We therefore warmly congratulate the people of Fiji for their return to constitutional and democratic rule following the general elections this year. We welcome the return of the Fiji to the Commonwealth and to the Pacific Islands Forum. In wishing the people of Fiji well, Papua New Guinea, as it has done in the past, will continue to stand ready to assist them, along with other major Pacific partners, in areas where it can be effective as Fiji embarks on its new path forward. Mr. President, the recent Third International Conference on Small Island Developing States in Samoa was a great success. We commend the adoption of the Samoa Pathway, which reiterated the sustainable development priorities of SEEDS and which has been reaffirmed by the international community. But the impacts of climate change continue to pose a serious challenge to the sustainable development of SEEDS. The full range of damaging impacts, such as rising sea levels, coastal erosion, freshwater table salination, prolonged and severe droughts, flooding and other extreme weather, and loss and damage of vital infrastructure remain a constant concern for SEEDS. Many of the SEEDS, especially in the Pacific, have reached a tipping point. While the right thing to do is for us to respond to these challenges by working smarter and harder to improve the livelihoods of people at risk, the bigger and advanced countries of the world must not only do likewise, but they must redouble their efforts in partnering with us. As part of our support for Pacific SEEDS, Papua New Guinea has launched the Pacific Development Assistance Program. This is aimed at assisting Pacific SEEDS in critical areas of development, such as education, health, capacity building, climate change, and reconstruction of important infrastructure after natural disasters. In this regard, we reiterate our call on the international community, including the United Nations, to work together with SEEDS in the spirit of genuine and durable partnership. We commend the Secretary General of the UN in this respect, for convening the successful high-level climate summit last week. In supporting the outcomes, we must build on the political momentum generated as we move towards Lima this year and, importantly, Paris in 2015, where the international community must conclude a legally binding agreement in order for us to collectively address the adverse impacts of climate change. Mr. President, the international community stands at an important crossroad. The imminent deadline of the Millennium Development Goals and the transition to the post-2015 development agenda have rightly become the center stage of the global agenda. We support a people-centered and transformative post-2015 development agenda that must be underpinned by global partnerships that support national ownership of sustainable development. We welcome the adoption by the United Nations General Assembly of the report of the committee co-chairs of the Open Working Group on SDGs that recommended 17 sustainable development goals. We must chart a path that is realistic with goals that are attainable with the necessary means of implementation. We also commend the work of the Intergovernmental Committee of Experts on Sustainable Development Financing, which is critical to the successful implementation of the 2015 Development Agenda. In this respect, the Pacific Island developing states note with appreciation the inclusion of the important proposed standalone goals on oceans and seas, sustainable energy and climate change. Along with other proposed goals, this should form the basis for the intergovernmental negotiations that are to take place, which Papua New Guinea will participate in it. Mr. President, my government remains fully committed to these efforts because we have learned the galvanizing impact of the MDGs that has helped us take national ownership and develop a homegrown sustainable development paradigm. Whilst my country's MDGs remain a score, while my country's MDG scorecard remains a work in progress, my government has undertaken various initiatives to redress the situation. We have retailored the MDGs to national priorities with 88 indicators connecting them to our national development plans. A recent report on progress to achieve the MDGs by the United Nations Country Office was optimistic and positive. The report found that Papua New Guinea has made important strides towards achieving the MDGs, especially since the general elections in 2012. These include the bold decision to run a budget deficit until 2017, which the United Nations report notes has enabled the nation to invest in essential areas. My government is implementing a policy of free education for all primary school children. This has seen school enrollments jump by as much as 80% in some areas. We now have around 2 million children in schools. In the health sector, we're witnessing reduction of rates in early child and maternal mortality, HIV/AIDS, malaria and other communicable diseases. There are more mothers and children getting access to health care as a result of our free healthcare policy. Our infrastructure development program is improving Papua New Guinea business environment and creating opportunities for our people to participate meaningfully in national development. Mr. President, a key cornerstone of our development roadmap is a people-centered population management stabilization focus. It entails empowering individuals to take leadership and full responsibility to improve their livelihoods through appropriate measures. Our economy has grown over the last decade at an average rate of 6 to 8% per annum, and is projected to grow up to 20% in 2015. This growth is transforming our country, especially with revenue from the completion of our first LNG project and its export. This is a new economic and development age for our economy. The unprecedented and transformative economic progress will be coinciding with the pursuit of the post-2015 development agenda. We are clearly focused to actively participate in this process and in the implementation of it at the national and regional levels. Our government is fully committed to ensuring that we manage the transformation carefully and effectively. Our challenge is to ensure that this growth delivers the maximum benefits to our citizens. Recently, our government launched a $100 million initiative with our leading national bank, the Bank of South Pacific, to make home loans more affordable to our citizens. We are also facilitating financial inclusion services for our people. We are grateful to our development partners, including the United Nations, Australia, New Zealand, United States, Japan, China, and the EU. My government has helped with the capital for the first National Women's Bank, as well as microcredit schemes for involvement of our grassroots people become owners and drivers of their future well-being. In addition, we are prioritizing small to medium-sized enterprises to drive national development. Furthermore, my government is also developing a national statistics development strategy to provide a roadmap for Papua New Guinea to continually improve and update its statistical information collection and management for improved decision making. This includes embarking on a national biometric identification card system to record and maintain population information of our citizens. Mr. President, despite the economic growth, social issues remain a challenge. My government values our women and girls, who constitute half of our population, as equal development partners. We are making sure that gender empowerment and equality continue to be a cornerstone of our responsible, sustainable development. We therefore support the work of UN Women. I'm pleased to inform this Assembly that my government has committed record funding of $10 million this year for various initiatives, including partnering with UNFPA to make available 40,000 contraceptive implants as important intervention measures for the health of our women and girls of childbearing age. This will be scaled up to $20 million by 2015. My government, in partnership with our development partners, is also investing in upgrading vital midwifery skills, along with enhancing our health referral systems to address complicated pregnancies. As an executive board member of UNICEF, we will promote and participate in the 25th anniversary on the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Mr. President, my government welcomes and pledges our support for your timely agenda for strengthening international peace and security. As a responsible member of the United Nations, we are committed to fostering a global peace and security, and as such, my country is deploying a modest level of troops to the UN peacekeeping missions in Sudan and South Sudan. As our capacity grows, we intend to contribute more. We are concerned at the increasing conflicts and tensions in many parts of the world, particularly those involving non-state actors. It is unacceptable to witness the heavy toll of destruction expected upon millions of innocent children, women, and men. oftentimes uprooted from their homes, dislocated, downtrodden, and their dignity humiliated. We must rebuke and unite against the rising tide of intolerance, bigotry, and hatred under various banners. We again condemn terrorism in all its manifestations. We join the international community to combat this global threat. Our support for the recent United Nations Council resolution against terrorism is a reaffirmation that inhuman atrocities committed cannot be and should not be condoned by the international community. Those responsible for such inhuman atrocities must be held accountable. We are also concerned by the rising tensions between and within certain countries and the re-emergence of ugly head of another potential arms race. This world does not need this, but rather we must recommit our efforts for a global disarmament that will support a transformative development agenda that brings long-lasting improvement in the livelihoods of peoples everywhere. The Ebola crisis is a concern that is not just limited to West Africa. It is an international crisis, one which we, the international community, must address together as we have done with SARS and HIV/AIDS. These are diseases and pandemics which do not recognize national sovereign borders. Like other countries, Papua New Guinea has taken appropriate measures to address the potential spread of Ebola. Mr. President, we note with concern that the third decade for eradication of colonialism is nearing its end, but progress has been slow. We need to strengthen efforts to complete this process. In this respect, Papua New Guinea urges the implementation of the report and the conclusions of the United Nations visiting mission to New Caledonia this year, and thereby call on the United Nations and the international community, and particularly the administering power, to support the process of decolonization under the Nouméa Accord. The Melanesian Spearhead Group Leaders Summit in June 2013 supported through a declaration the efforts of the FLNKS in New Caledonia. Mr. President, Papua New Guinea strongly believes that the international community is a better, more secure, and harmonious place because of the United Nations. Certainly, there are areas at the UN where reform is required, as is the case with any large organization. We need to recommit ourselves to the areas where the UN has been successful, and in other areas, we need to build adequate systems. Our ultimate objective must be to promote a more effective, more accountable, more responsive, and more caring United Nations, a United Nations capable of meeting the challenges of the 21st century. Papua New Guinea therefore shares your intention to further reform, rejuvenate, and strengthen the current United Nations Security Council to allow for equitable geographic representation. Regrettably, Mr. President, this important organ does not reflect today's geopolitical realities. We again join many other member states of the United Nations calling for the reform of the current UN Security Council in both categories of membership. This time, Mr. President, next year, we will be celebrating 40 years of nation building in Papua New Guinea, just as the United Nations commemorates its 70th anniversary. We continue to be a proud, united country of many diverse cultures and peoples speaking more than 800 languages. We are also rapidly transforming our traditional way of life to a modern country in just one generation. In closing, Mr. President, I recommit my country to the ideals of the United Nations Charter and pledge to work closely with all other member states to collaborate on solutions to many issues we all face as humanity. I thank you.
I thank the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Immigration of Papua New Guinea for his statement.